Now let's turn back to the second chapter of Acts. Perhaps I should not have subjected you to this, having to listen to me this morning with such a bad throat, but I really thought that I'd be better today. I preached last week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday down in Madisonville, and had a very good meeting, just so good. We had some of my preacher friends came to visit us during the meeting, Brother Donnie Bell, Brother Doug Weaver, Brother Danny Blair, Brother Darrell Gibbons, a pastor of a Primitive Baptist church in Madisonville, was there for two nights. Just had a good meeting. And I started getting sick Thursday night and came home Thursday night after the service. And I thought I'd be better today, but I am better. You say that's better? Yeah, this is better. But somehow I just can't be anywhere but here on Sunday morning and Sunday night when I'm in Ashland. I've been doing this 40 years now. Over 2,000 Sundays. And I feel like something's wrong if I'm not here to preach when I'm in town. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost," Acts 2, verse 1, "when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." When you hear the word Pentecost, what comes to your mind? Well, I believe most people, when they hear the word Pentecost, think of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that's just what happened here. You know, our Lord told his disciples, he said, "You go to Jerusalem and you tarry till you be endued with power from heaven." And they went there and they abode all in one accord in one place, waiting as he had instructed them, till they were baptized with and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's read about it. Verse 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared upon them, or under them, cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, when at this particular time, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, did come. And God, like the coming of His Son into the world, surrounded that glorious event with many unusual signs and unusual miracles and unusual happenings. The Holy Spirit didn't just sneak into the world, nor did the Son of God come that way. The Lord surrounded the coming of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit with great and mighty wonders. Other people, when you mention Pentecost, other people think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The miracles, the gifts, the speaking in other tongues. In fact, a whole denomination of people has risen up and they go by that name, Pentecostals. They'll tell you readily that they're like these people at Pentecost. They worship in a charismatic form or way. They raise their hands. They make much ado about in praising God and in speaking in other tongues, and they emphasize healing and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we read about that here in verse 4. Let's read it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation unto heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, when it became known that these people were speaking, preaching in other languages. Now, no need for me to emphasize the fact, you know it yourself, that they were preaching in languages, known languages. They weren't speaking in a gibberish, in an unknown tongue. That language was not known by them, but it was known by the people that were hearing it. It wasn't an unknown gibberish. It was a unknown to them, yet known to somebody. Now, when this became known that these fellows were speaking in other languages, the multitude came together and they were confounded. They were troubled in their minds. They were amazed because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were amazed. They marveled. They said one to another, behold, are not these men who speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? For there were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and think of all the people here, listen, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, they were from everywhere, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do all hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I doubt seriously that Peter, James, and John and these other apostles were jumping benches. I doubt very seriously that these men were running aisles and carrying on in that way. I don't believe that was, they were associated with that type of thing at all. They were declaring the wonderful works of God. They were declaring the glorious gospel of Christ. They were declaring the message of redemption. And God was enabling them to declare it in other languages. People were hearing them. There were people there from everywhere. And verse 12 says, they were all amazed. They were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? And others mocking said, well, these fellows are drunk. These fellows are full of new wine. So when you think of Pentecost, some people think of that's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Others think of the gifts. The Holy Spirit was there and the gifts were there. Others think, when they talk about Pentecost, you know, we used to sing an old song, Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, the floodgates of blessings on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. When you mention Pentecost, some people think about a great revival, a great ingathering of souls. In fact, look at verse 41 of chapter 2. That happened there. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Oh, my, my, my. 3,000 people were baptized after Pentecost here. Whatever happened at Pentecost, whatever it is. All right. But what exactly is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? I think a lot has been made of this that ought not to be made. A lot has been said that maybe ought not to have been said. A lot has been identified with it that shouldn't be identified with it. And we've maybe left out the main key factor of Pentecost. The key factor of Pentecost. I believe I know what it is. Well, what is Pentecost? Well, I'm not going to read it, but you can jot this down later, read it. Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 4 through 21. Pentecost was one of several feasts, religious ceremonies and feasts, and special days given by the Lord to Israel. For example, there was the Passover feast, which originated in Egypt. You're familiar with it. Israel was in Egypt in bondage, slavery. God would deliver them. He told them, select the lamb, firstling of the flock, without spot or blemish. Put it up for 4 days, observe it, slay it, put the blood on the door. For I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night and slay the firstborn from the cattle on the hillside to the throne of Egypt. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Passover. That was the Passover feast. From that day, every year, Israel observed the Passover. The Passover. Until Christ came, who is our Passover, who is our Lamb, who is our atonement. And when Christ our Lord died, there's no more Passover feast. No more. He taketh away the first and establisheth the second. There's no more Passover. Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. But they kept that feast. And then there was the waving of the sheep. And that was the first day after the Passover Sabbath. In other words, the Passover was on a certain day. And then you come to that Sabbath day. And the next day, Sunday, the first day of the week, you'd celebrate what was called the waving of the sheaf. That was the beginning of the harvest. And Israel brought a handful of the first fruits and waved them before the Lord. The waving of the sheaf, the waving of the first fruits. They were saying before the Lord, every product of the soil, everything that we have, all the results of our labor is of the Lord and of Him only. That's a good feast, isn't it? That's a good feast. That's where the tithe was too, the first fruits, the beginning. Well, we know we don't celebrate that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the first fruits of them that slept. And on that day, He arose from the grave. Our Lord came forth from the grave. The first fruits of them that slept. And then you read in Leviticus 23 of the feast of Pentecost. Now here's the Passover, which they celebrated. The slaying of the lamb, the blood, the waving of the sheaf on that next Sunday morning, first day of the week after the Passover Sabbath. And then they were to number 7 Sabbath days. 49. And counting that one day, 50 days. They were to number 50 days. That was the end of the harvest. And that was the feast of the Passover, or the Pentecost, feast of Pentecost. And the word Pentecost simply means 50th. Look it up. Greek word 50th. Pentecost. And so this was the reason that these people were all gathered at Jerusalem at this 50 days after the Passover. They were there from everywhere. Here it is right here. They were there. All were there. Now, what is the dominating factor, the chief issue, the key factor that God Almighty raised at Pentecost? Was it the coming of the Holy Ghost? Well, He was there. He was there. Was it the gifts that He brought? They were there. The Lord manifested those gifts in great and mighty power. The apostles and their ability to speak in other languages, the great crowd and the number of conversions. No, sir, I do not believe that was the chief issue raised by the apostles at Pentecost. What was it? Well, let's take up where we left off. In verse 13, somebody says these men are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, just like I'm standing here preaching this morning, in the 13th Street Baptist Church. Whatever was brought people together, God Almighty has done it in His sovereign providence and purpose. But He says, you men of Judea, and all of you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's but the third hour of the day. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But what's taking place here, he said in verse 16, is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In Joel 2, verse 28 through 32, way back there, Joel said this, it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, that's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing. Here the apostles were assembled. The Spirit of God came down in great power. They began to preach. They began to speak. They began to speak in other languages. People were there from everywhere and heard these men speak in other languages. They were confounded. They were amazed. They were astonished. They said, what's going on here? We're all hearing the wonderful works of God in our own tongue, in our own language. Somebody said, well, there must be a bunch of drunk men. And Peter got up and said, now, hold on. These men aren't drunk, as some of you say. But what's taking place here was prophesied by Joel the prophet many, many years ago. This is just the fulfillment of what Joel said. That the Spirit of God would come upon individual believers. And even men and women would teach and preach and witness and declare what God hath revealed to their hearts. Now that's what's taking place. You understand? That's the fulfillment of what Joel said. Now, but here's where he starts. But verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear my words. Here's the issue. Here's the issue. Ye men of Israel, hear my words now. Don't be taken up with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's message and ministry is to reveal and honor and exalt Jesus Christ. Let me show you that in John 16. You're in John 16, our Lord Jesus Christ, about to go to the cross, about to be crucified, would die, be buried, and rise again, go back to heaven. But he said in verse 13 of John 16, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost is coming, will be upon you, will be in you, will dwell with you, and he, the Holy Ghost, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Well, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. The Holy Ghost didn't originate the gospel. It came from the Father. He'll not speak of himself. He'll not speak about himself. But he shall glorify me. That's the message of the Holy Ghost. He'll glorify me. He'll not glorify himself. He'll not glorify you. He'll glorify me. He'll exalt me. He'll receive of man. He'll take the things of man and show it to you. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost, to reveal Christ. And this is what Peter's about to declare. Ye men of Israel, hear my words. Hear my words. The power of God is in the Word of God. Hear my words. Hear what I'm about to say. Don't be taken up with the Holy Ghost. Don't be taken up with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the same in every language. God wasn't trying to impress these hearers out here with the ability of the apostles to speak in other languages. He was simply using this gift to convey to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is the first and last order of business for the servants of God. Here the apostles began their ministry, right here at Pentecost. The Lord Jesus had died, was buried, rose again, went back to glory. Now here they are. He said, if my Father sent me, I send you. Now here they are. Their ministry beginning, their first message preached. And the first and last order of business as far as these apostles is concerned is to preach Christ. When old John, after they were all dead, all these men were dead, John was the last one alive, 90 years old. All his friends were dead, all the apostles were dead. Their ministry over, ended. John was on the Isle of Patmos about to die, and he closed the book, and his last writings were, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. These apostles would not have us taken up with their charisma, or taken up with the cloven tongues. It's amazing how men bypass Christ and get the things. I see a picture of a cross and some fire on it. And these are visual aids. They would have us think about a cross and think about a fire. But that's not the message. The message is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Peter here. After he explains, this is a fulfillment of what Joel wrote. Now, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Yes, a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. But he was no ordinary man. He was a man approved of God, ordained of God, sent by God, anointed by God, the God-man sent among you, raised up from your midst, but approved of God and witnessed to by God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know. You read chapter 5 of John, and our Lord said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But John the Baptist bore witness of me. The Heavenly Father bore witness of me. The works that I do bear witness of me. And the Word, you search the Scriptures, and they testify of me. And Peter stands here and says, let's get your mind off the Holy Ghost, and get your mind off the gifts, and get your mind off the wonders and so forth, and let's get our mind on this right here. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders. Verse 23, him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. My friends, the death of Jesus Christ was no accident. It was no accident. It never caught God by surprise. Jesus Christ was ordained of the Heavenly Father before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb slain. I verily believe that this word teaches that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came at the appointed hour, sent, appointed by the Father to do the appointed work for his appointed people. And everything that happened from the very first conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, everything that happened was done and said of him, through him, to him, by him, all the way down to he breathed his last breath, on that cross and said, "It's finished." Every drop of spit that they spat in his face, every word that they hurled against him, every stroke of the hammer on that nail, every swish of the scourge on his back, every testimony against him was ordained of Almighty God.
I believe that.
Turn one page to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Peter talking again. Verse 26, he said, "The kings of this earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, against Almighty God and his Son, his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what your hand and your counsel determined before." Before what? Before he died. Yeah. Before he was born. Yeah. Before the world. To be done. That's right. He was delivered, verse 23 of Acts 2. Let me tell you, Peter said, "Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken. And by your wicked hands, you are responsible. You did what you wanted to do. You did what you willed to do. You did what your wicked hearts told you to do. But you did what God ordained to be done. You crucified and slain the Lord of glory." I'll bet you when he got that far in his message, there weren't too many of the folks there with their hands waving. I bet there weren't too many folks there. They'd about forgotten what language he was speaking in. They were taken up with what he was saying. This is the problem with miracles and gifts. We're taken up with who's preaching, how he's preaching, and not what he's saying. And I'll tell you, anything that distracts from what he's saying and distracts from whom he's preaching and what that person, who that person is, what he's done, where he is now, is not of God. In your singing, you folks that sing, if people start hearing the accompaniment, they start hearing the variations of the voice, or seeing the showmanship, and they're not hearing the message, God's not blessing that. Same thing in my preaching. I say this to most preachers. There's so much of the charisma and the cutting up and the entertainment and the extra added attraction. People are not hearing what we're saying. You can bet your boots they were hearing Peter here. He said, "You men of Israel, you hear my words now. You hear my words. You don't hear the fact that it's in French or Spanish. You hear what I'm saying. I'm saying Jesus of Nazareth, that hated, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The carpenter's son, Mary's son. I'm talking about the wine bibber, the glutton man, gluttonous man. I'm talking about that Jesus of Nazareth. A man. God, man, approved of God among you by miracles and signs." You know what I'm talking about, he said. "And he was delivered by the determinate counsel, the eternal wisdom and purpose of Almighty God into your wicked hands. And you with your wicked hands nailed him to a cross," verse 24. But he didn't stay there. God raised him up. God raised him from the dead. They'd never heard of the resurrection of the dead. This was a doctrine that the Jewish leaders hated above all doctrines. That's right. Wonder why we don't hear more preaching of the resurrection of the dead. We take it for granted.
These boys didn't. They hated it.
They made fun of it. The Sadducees made fun of it. And they hated this resurrection. Especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because if he was raised from the dead, then what he said was true. And they crucified the Son of God. That's why it was important to them. If Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then what he did had to be done and was accepted of the Father. If he was raised from the dead, then all whom he represented will be raised too. My, 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 this is the most glorious truth to us. And it was that for which the apostles were persecuted the most, the resurrection of the dead.
That's right.
The old Jews back yonder when the tabernacle stood in the wilderness on the Day of Atonement, the high priest took the blood from the altar and the incense, and he went under the veil, just the high priest, nobody else, once a year, not without blood. And he went under the veil to face the mercy seat, to face the Shekinah glory of God. And everybody stood around the camp in silence, waiting. Waiting. What were they waiting for? What were they waiting for? To see if he came out of that Holy of Holies. And if he came out, then the atonement was accepted. God was appeased. Isn't that right? If he came out. But I tell you, when I stand before the tomb of Jesus Christ, my life, my hope, my help, my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my Redeemer, everything is in that grave with a stone rolled over it. And I'm waiting to see if he's coming out. And the angel of God came down, rolled away the stone, and my Lord laid aside the napkin that was over his face. Folded it. He's in no hurry. Never is. We are. He's not. Folded and laid aside. Took the grave clothes. Laid them aside and walked out. And I tell you this. When he walked out of the tomb, to me the trumpets of heaven sounded. To me the glad hosanna sprang forth. The victory is ours. It's ours in him. And he went to the right hand of God and sat down. And we went with him. That's what Peter's talking about. He hath God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Not possible that he should be holding of it. Now listen to that verse 25. He says, David, you Jews have a lot of confidence in David, but it's not David that saves us, it's David's son. You got a lot of confidence in Abraham. It's not Abraham, but Abraham's seed to whom we look. David spoke concerning Jesus Christ. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. My heart rejoiced in Christ Jesus. My tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer the Holy One to see corruption. The Lord Jesus would not remain in the place of the dead, nor his body in the tomb, and his body would never rot. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, Peter said, men and brethren, let me speak to you about David. David wasn't talking about himself when he wrote those words. David wasn't talking about himself because he's dead and buried. His bones are still in the grave. His grave is with us to this day. David didn't arise from the grave. David's dead and buried. And when he wrote those words, he wasn't talking about himself. Verse 30, being a prophet, And knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ. What's the issue at Pentecost? It ain't the Holy Ghost. It's the Christ. It's not the gift. It's the Christ. It's always been the issue. It was the issue with David, he said. David is not, when he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. He wasn't talking about himself. When he's talking about you won't leave my soul in Hades or my body in the grave, he wasn't talking about himself. He was a prophet talking about the Christ. Verse 31, he seeing this before, way back yonder, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That Christ's soul was not left in hell, Hades. His flesh did not see corruption. That's what David's declaring. And this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. He's appeared to many of us. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Now, Peter's going to take them a little further. You know, Paul said, who can condemn me? Christ died, yea, is risen. But who is even? You can't leave Christ even outside the tomb. He's risen and he's accepted. But he's also seated at the right hand of God. That's what Peter's going to say here. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this gospel which you now see and hear. David wasn't talking about himself. Verse 34, he is not ascended into the heavens. He said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Do you see what I'm saying? This is the message that I'm trying to preach. God's sovereignty, God's eternal covenant, purpose for the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. That God prophesied by David, Isaiah, Abraham, and all of them, the coming of Christ. These men spoke. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgression. He wasn't talking about himself. The eunuch said he's talking about himself or some other man. Some other man. David said here, I will not leave my soul in hell. He wasn't talking about himself, Peter said. He's talking about Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? And men crucified him and slew him and hanged him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. And God gives evidence. He's going to judge this world by that man whom he raised from the dead. And God exalted him and seated him in his right hand. This is my message. This is our gospel. And when Peter got up, that Pentecostal preaching is Christ. It's not the Holy Ghost. Pentecostal preaching is Christ. It's not the gifts. Peter didn't even try to tell you. You see how I'm speaking in tongues? You can too if you'll write to me and send $50 and get my book. You know what Peter said. You're not saved if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. That's no way, Peter. He never said anything about the tongues except this is what Joel said was going to take place. With men of other tongues will I speak to this people, but even then they won't hear, God said. But here Peter brings this Pentecostal issue right down where it's supposed to be. Watch the last verse. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, here it is, that Almighty God hath made that same Jesus. Do you know how many times they use that term? That same Jesus. I want this understood, he said. It's not another. You're not going to worship a Jesus of your imagination. You're not going to make up one that fits the bill a little better, meets your dignity and so forth. That same Jesus. Over yonder when the angels stood and the disciples watched him ascend to heaven, The angel stood and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" That same Jesus. That same Jesus. That same Jesus about whom the shepherd, the angel, sang. That same Jesus who walked this earth in the flesh. That same Jesus who died on that cross. That same Jesus who lay in the tomb. That same Jesus that came forth. God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified. He's made him Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. With all authority in heaven and earth. He's not defeated. He's not disappointed. He's not frustrated. He is Lord. And he is the Christ. Now then, what was the result? Nobody here seeking the Spirit. Nobody seeking the tongue. Nobody seeking the gifts. Verse 37, when they heard this, when they what? When they heard this message, this gospel, they were pricked in the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, what are we going to do? We've cursed God. We've spat in the face of God. We've crucified the Lord of glory. What are we going to do? We're under just condemnation from an angry God. What are we going to do? And then Peter said, repent. Change your mind about God, about yourself, about sin, about this man, Jesus Christ, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus. Believe on him. Receive him. Trust him. Look to him. For the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you, not just to the apostles, and to your children, and to all of the far off, even the Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If he called you, he'll bless you. But kiss the Son, lest there be a Pentecostal preaching. Oh, it's gospel preaching. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this man called Jesus? What did he do? Why did he do it? Where is he now? Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.